previous weeks, the Lord's been opening things up in the Word about His rest and the relationship between His rest and the work He's doing in our thinking, how it all ties together with His presence. And this morning, I'd like to present something that has really blessed me. It's the attitude of a thankful heart, being grateful, and how this so vitally connects to this ongoing work of the Spirit that we're involved with, and how the thankful heart is really the way we travel into His rest and live in His rest. Now, if we look at what's been happening, I think there's a picture in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, that really accurately describes where we live right now. And if you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. And I'm just going to read verses 10 through the first part of verse 12. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power, the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them." Here's where we are. Kingdom of God has cast Satan down and all the accusations. That's good news. The not so good news is he's cast down to the earthly plane where our minds still are. That's the struggle we find ourselves. The downward pull of accusations, the negativity on our thinking, on our lives. Yet there's the upward pull of the Spirit where it says, "Rejoice, O you who dwell in the heavens." The heavens means the realm of God's Spirit, God's heart. So we're being pulled up, overcoming the assault of the lies and accusations of the enemy. That's the process we're in. Good news, it says they overcame. How did they overcome? One, by the blood of the Lamb. Again, our mind has a hard time assimilating this. The blood of the Lamb does not refer to what we do. It refers to the overcoming that Jesus Christ did on the cross. And believe it or not, 2,000 years ago, He did something with it by His blood that gave us permanent victory. Yet our mind struggles with that. Because our mind wants to be in control. Our mind wants to feel like we deserved it or we earned it. The human mind does not accept the reality of grace that easily and what grace means. And our religious side fights that. You know, we want to feel like we overcame. Okay, that means I did something or I've been doing things to bring me to this place of overcoming. We want a little bit of the glory, don't we? We want to be able to say, "See what I did?" And that way we can compare to someone else and that person didn't. But the reality is, it's the blood of the Lamb that is our victory. And how can we respond to that reality? If our overcoming is based on His blood, the only response we can give is a hearty thank you and be grateful. It's not something we can ever accomplish in our own resources, our own abilities. It's something that's been done for us. Next, the word of their testimony. We're going through this right now. This is the Spirit dealing with us on a very deep level in our thinking, in our attitude. Word of our testimony is not simply a matter of, instead of saying negative things, now just try to say positive things. It's as the scripture talks about the axe being laid to the root. God getting to the attitude of our heart. And that's been going on, hasn't it? Changing that attitude. So the word of our testimony is the attitude we have toward God and toward life and toward one another. The attitude is becoming positive. Not because, again, that we are just simply trying to reframe how we word things. It's becoming positive because we're identifying with the cross and God is able to deal with our heart. The word of our testimony is to be that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is victorious. But this is not simply something, a matter of just adopting certain thoughts and just rehearsing those thoughts over and over again. Now, that's a good thing to do. It's better to speak positive than negative. But I want to make it very clear, this is not just simply positive thinking and action. This is an overcoming that comes because the Spirit's been able to deal with us. And we have that attitude that recognizes that Jesus Christ is Lord. So our testimony comes out of that attitude, one of faith and love. Third, they did not love their life even to death. God has been dealing with that part of our mind, that selfish part. And really, that really kind of captures, I think, the human thinking. We can be so intelligent, so understanding, understand so many things. But basically, everyone, if they're just trapped in their own thoughts, is pretty much self-absorbed. Selfish. So the Spirit deals with that part. We don't love our life unto death. What does that mean? We're letting go of the selfishness. That part of our thinking is dying out. And we're adopting in its place the mind of Christ, which is the attitude Jesus had, as described in Philippians 2. He emptied himself, the servant to all. This is an ongoing change that's taking place within us, so that what? We're able to overcome and dwell in the heavens, in the realm of spirit, where we belong. That's our home. And this morning, I want us to look at specifically the attitude of being grateful. We have no idea how powerful that is. Being thankful doesn't necessarily change the world around you, but it does change the way that you see that world. A grateful heart, and when we say be thankful, let's look at this word. I think a word that best captures it is gratitude. Gratitude changes the way that we think. It's an attitude of worship, isn't it? And maybe it's the most important part of worship for us as human beings and the struggles that we are in. Because it's that attitude of heart that recognizes who God is and how much he has blessed us. I think too often we may look at being grateful as something, you know, it's like when someone does something for you and you thank them. Kind of like we want to have good manners before God, you know. Oh, thank you, God. So it's something we do, and then we drop it because we're on to other things, right? Thank you, God, for your blessings. Now, what about this? God does not need us to be polite or have good manners. Being grateful is a state of being. It's a place of abiding. It's where we live in his heart. That allows us to fully appreciate his blessings of who he is, who he's created us to be. Again, it's a powerful way of changing this natural way of thinking that is so open to being negative. They've done a lot of study about the human brain in recent years, and they're finding that people that think a certain way, it's kind of like a freeway. The more you travel on a road, the more accustomed you get to it. It's like ruts are created within our actual brain. So if you found yourself trying to escape certain thought patterns that are, you know, are self-destructive, you say, I try to, but I just get so frustrated, I can't do it. It's because you've thought that way for so long. It's like that thinking is like a rut. You've traveled that road for so long. You're used to it. Even though you don't want to be on that road, It's a matter of habit. But the good news is, and they're finding this in the natural realm, we can create new freeways and new roads. So that's what the Spirit does for us. In working in our thinking, it's not a matter of getting frustrated over being negative and saying, I got to stop thinking that way. All you're doing is probably amplifying that same negative pathway you've been down for so long. Condemning yourself doesn't help at all. Letting the Spirit create a new pathway. Pathways in our thinking. This is what being grateful does. In general, the way we size up our lives is we've got good things and bad things. If we're trapped in our natural mind, and I use that word trapped, I've used that a couple times, and I think it's appropriate this morning. We look at our lives, and depending on how the day is going, generally we think, well, I know God is good to me, but there's so many things wrong. The reality for all of us, there are far more blessings in our life than problems. One example that has always stuck with me is Frankel. What's his first name? I can't remember. Viktor Frankl, thank you. Now, he was in the concentration camps in World War II. Now, he's an excellent writer. He's a, you know, he's been a blessing to so many over the years and in the realm of psychology. But, you know, he described his experience in those concentration camps. It's horrible. You want to talk about a world where there's more things wrong than right. In a place where there's just random killing going on, imprisonment, being treated like an animal, probably the most horrible condition a person could find themselves in this world and still be alive. Being basically systematically tortured. Yet he came through that saying, the one thing they could not take away from me was my integrity. Here is a man that was in a hopeless situation, yet he found something positive he could hold on to. They can take my life. They can make me afraid every day because I don't know what's going to happen. But they can't take away my basic integrity as a human being. He wouldn't let that happen. The positive to me in that situation would seem to be so small, but he found it and he focused on that. He survived it to write about it. And not only write about it, but again, he has enriched so many lives over the years through his writings. Now, with all of us, I don't think any of us would describe our situation that bleak. But the human tendency is in the human mind looks at life, accentuates the negative, minimizes the positive. That's just the way the human brain tends to work. So we suffer a distortion, and we come to God saying, my need is so much greater than my provision. And God looks down and says, no, that's not the way it is. You are so blessed, and here is your need. It's so small compared to the blessing. It's the attitude of gratitude that renews our thinking, where we can see our life the way God sees it, where the problems shrink down to their proper dimensions. It's not that there's not problems. Sometimes our problems are big, sometimes they're small. They can be issues that really disturb our life. But again, with a grateful heart, we're able to see God and see the overall picture. And the blessings always outweigh the negatives. And with that perspective and having a grateful heart, what comes after that? When you have a right perspective, you can have faith for the problems you're going through. You're not overwhelmed by them. Matthew chapter 15, verse 36. This is when he fed the thousands, 4,000 fed, and the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them. He gave them out to the disciples, and you know the rest, don't you? That little bit of food fed thousands. What I want us to pay attention to is he took the provision, what was there. He didn't say, God, there's no way this is going to feed 4,000 people here. You know, God, what are you going to do here? You see, Jesus was very grateful. And if you read about his life, it's not that he was grateful because he had such an easy go of it. He was grateful for the love of the Father, that he could hear the Father speak, that he did the things the Father wanted him to do. He was grateful because of God, who God was. He looked at this few fishes and loaves. The disciples were experiencing fear over it, right? Kind of like the need is greater than the provision. He gave thanks for what was there, and a miracle took place. I think we can learn something from this. Often our minds will analyze and say, the need is this big and the provision is so much smaller. And then we come before God saying, well, God, you've got to do something here. But we're praying out of fear and frustration and anxiety. Let's be thankful for what we have and let the Lord expand it and work his miracles. He was thankful first. He said, what did he say here? He gave thanks, then he broke it. From a thankful heart comes a broken spirit. And a broken spirit, God can use to do anything. We approach our own ministry in life. Maybe that's one way you can apply this. I think you can apply it just about anything. The human mind will always make the provision look smaller than the problem, than the need. The thankful heart will give you God's perspective and the faith for a miracle if a miracle is needed, and a miracle was needed right there. Thankfulness and a thankful attitude has a lot to do with our self-image and self-esteem. Remember the Israelites who were not very thankful. In their journey in the wilderness, it talks about how they grumbled and complained, and they told Moses, "Would have been better if we had just stayed in Egypt and been brought out here." The opposite of what we're talking about this morning. Human nature at its worst. God works a miracle for them. He's with them in the wilderness. Fire and a cloud leading them, manna from heaven, water out of a rock. I mean, they're aware that supernatural things are taking place. But you see the human mind at work. They were trained in their thinking to be ungrateful. They'd been slaves all those years, complaining about being under the Egyptian oppression. So they go out into a wilderness, new circumstances. Everything is new except their attitude. The unthankful heart, even though God can work miracles, will never appreciate it. Even though there's plenty of blessings all around, if we're unthankful, we're not blessed, no matter what God does for us. They come up to the land and they see the giants. A very revealing scripture is found in, you can turn to this later, Numbers chapter 13. I think it's in the end. They're afraid because of the giants. Basically, they don't want to go in. They say, "We became as grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight." What we need to look at is they were ungrateful, they weren't thankful for anything. And look at the self-image they had. The giants weren't the problem. They looked at themselves and said, they said first, the scripture says, we were grasshoppers in our own sight. That very attitude of poison that they had, and not being able to appreciate anything God was doing for them. When they looked in the mirror, that attitude, the image that they got back was that they were no good and nothing. That's what an unthankful heart will do. It weakens self-esteem. It makes you look at yourself in such a negative way. Now, Joshua, Caleb, Moses, they all had a different attitude, but they were exposed to the presence of the Lord. And with all the ones that were able to go in, they were able to be grateful for what God had done. When we're able to be thankful, we look in the mirror and we don't look and say, "I'm just a grasshopper. How can I face those giants?" You look in the mirror and you see the provision of the Lord. You say, "You know, I don't like giants any more than anybody else, but God is with me. It's going to be all right." That's what a thankful heart brings. A thankful heart changes the way we think and allows us to appreciate God's presence in our life. So we look at the same problems, but in a different way and different results. I want to look at three things real quick. Well, first turn with me to Psalm chapter 95. Very familiar verse. I thought I'd mark this one, I didn't. Psalm 95:2 says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." How do we get into the presence of the Lord? I mean, and religion makes it so hard. Depending on what church you pick to belong to, it can be very difficult. A list of do's and don'ts. Yet the Word of God makes it so simple. How do we come into his presence? Or can we word it this way? How can his presence be a reality to us? Because his presence is within us. It's not like you have to journey somewhere to find his presence. It's within you. It doesn't make it real, does it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, that's a wonderful scripture, but it's much better if I'm experiencing the Christ in me, the hope of glory, on a daily basis. The thankful heart makes his presence real in our everyday life. There's one other scripture. chapter 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Just very simple. When we're being thankful, we're in motion. Remember I said it's not just a simply being polite to God, thank you, like we bless a meal, saying grace over a meal, just want to be thankful. It's become just a tradition we do. I still don't quite get it. I mean, unless you're worried about the person that's cooked the meal, you know, I think just our heart is thankful we're able to eat, but it's a tradition. Unfortunately, we've lost the reality of what it means. It's being thankful for God and who he is and what he's provided for us. When we're being grateful, we are not standing still. It's not just words we're echoing or uttering to God to get on to other things. When we're being thankful, we're entering. Your spirit is in motion. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. We're moving ahead spiritually. What's the goal of being Christians and being together? What's our goal? To move forward spiritually, to grow, to do the will of God. All of that involves movement in the Lord. Here it's saying, how do we enter the gates? Thankful heart. So simple, so powerful. And if we can just take this in, again, it's going to change how we think. Our minds have been a prison. And that grateful attitude toward God, letting that be our dwelling place, is going to renew the spirit of our mind. We're going to be able to think differently and realize that we're in this state of gratitude. We're moving forward to God. We're always entering into something new in his presence. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You don't have to turn there now. This is a familiar passage. It's when the Israelites went out to battle, or Judah went out to battle, and they sent the worshipers out. And I want to bring out something I think will be interesting to you on this. Let me just read some verses. This is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. And the statement is made, "We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee." This is their prayer, Jehoshaphat's prayer. God replies, "The battle is not yours, but God's. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And then when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were routed. Is everyone familiar with this battle? You know, again, the intimidation of the enemy. The worshipers went out before the army, and God set ambushes. The enemy was routed. The obvious conclusion we draw from this is when we're in battle, in personal battle, let's worship first. Victory comes out of that. But something came to me out of this. Often this does not work as effectively because we're in the midst of a battle and all of a sudden we're realizing that we're trying to analyze, figure our way out, work our way out, and we're losing ground. And then we think, uh-oh, I forgot to worship. So it's something we try to do midstream often, right? After your mind has frustrated you to no end, you think, this isn't working. What was that other thing? Worship, being thankful. That's it. So I'm not saying that's not effective. Any point when you're in battle, it's good to, you know, return to that, return to your first love. But what this is talking about is in how we approach life. It's not just that in the middle of the battle, let's remember God and call out. If that's when you remember it, yes, call out. So like with Peter, he can lift you up. But our attitude toward life before we hit the battles is to be one of a thankful heart and worship. And when that's where we dwell, God sets up ambushes. You'll notice the things that would normally wipe you out, they'll still be going on, but you'll see the hand of God moving things out of the way. I don't think this is meant to be a formula to use when in trouble. You know, like it's like if you swallow something bad, they have a little formula in the back of the bottle, what to do to get the poison out. This isn't more than just a formula. Again, this is referring to a state of being, where we live in our heart, so that as we face the battles in life, as a worshiper, we dwell on a different plane. The battles are still there. They're still going to bother you and annoy you. I'm not saying they're going to be way off in the distance where they don't even ruffle your life in any way. Some of them can come through very loud and clear. But when you're in worship in a thankful heart, you dwell somewhere else. And you can see the hand of God working for you. And you can realize the truth of the battle is not yours, but God's. This also applies the battles we have with one another. How easy it is to look at one another and to see the things that are wrong. I know we all get frustrated over this. I was thinking about this. Why is it so difficult to be in a spiritual relating to one another? It's not that difficult if we choose to be thankful for who that person is. A thankful heart unlocks our own eyes to see the presence of the Lord in that person or the good in that person. You know, when two people fall in love, they call it initially the state of infatuation. And of course, that's not sustainable. That state is when two people look at each other and they basically see what they want to see, but they see the positive. They don't see all the problems that are going to come up down the road. Now, I don't think we should endeavor to be in a state of infatuation. It's not really a state of reality. But there's something about that state that we should look at. The focusing on the positive. And that's what a thankful heart brings. It's not a state of infatuation. It's not an unreal state. It's a very real sense of being in his presence where you're aware of the problems of the person you're in relationship with. But because you're thankful, the good outweighs the negative. It gives you perspective. An example in the word of this is David with Saul. When David was running from Saul, and Saul was basically a madman, David had opportunity to kill Saul on a couple of occasions, and he didn't do it. And I'm sure his men were going, get it over with. This guy is mad. This king, he's lost it. You're to be the king. Everybody knew that. Even Saul knew that. Yet David said, I will not touch God's anointed. He had enough sense not to be near Saul, be physically close to him, because he knew what Saul would do. But he looked at Saul, someone that had lost it completely, and he still saw the anointing of the Lord. He still saw something good. And he was moved with God's love not to kill Saul. There's something that we're going to learn in relating to the Lord. There's something of this grateful heart that's going to allow us to see the good and the blessing that's in the people we're in relationship with. And in doing that, are you still going to be annoyed by the things that annoy you? Probably. Does it mean if you're grateful, that person's going to magically change? Is that going to have the ability to transform that person and all those things that bother you? Doubtful. But you're going to be free. You're going to be free to say, yes, that person bothers me in these ways, but that person is so much more than those things. When we're trapped in our thinking, the little things, we strain at a gnat, swallow a camel, you've heard that expression. The little things that irritate, well, you know, something irritates you. Pretty soon, that's all you're focused on, right? It takes over. Well, that irritation might be a very small part of your whole being. But if you're irritated long enough, that's where your focus is going to be. And that's what happens in relationships. Often it's just the little things that don't go away that will swallow up our awareness. And we look at another person and all we see are those little things that bother us. Being thankful allows you to get the big picture. To be able to be irritated and then see beyond the irritation to the beauty of that person's heart, their gifts, what's positive. The last thing, a thankful heart, really, I think, is going to be what the ministry is all about in this hour. It's what presents to the world who God is now. So often in our own mental human state, I think, it's either in the past, people are ruining the past and regretting this and that. They're looking back at what God has done, but often if you're looking back, you're probably looking at more negative than positive. You're looking at what God has not done. And that can be a very negative way of looking at things. A lot of people that have left church, and I don't even want to say it that way. I don't mean left church. Are not a part of fellowshipping. Things in the past have just become so big. They're robbed of the present joy of moving on with God because some things have really hurt them. They don't need to get back into church. They need to be healed of the resentment or just the hurts that have taken place. But when the human mind is trapped in the past, that's what happened. It tends to be a very negative experience. Another way of being trapped is in the future. What God will do someday. And that's also saying that, God, you're not enough today, but maybe someday you will be. So I'm just going to project in the future. Again, that's a way of escaping. And often the ministry that's presented to the world is in that state. Come join us, because here's what God is going to do. Here's what the kingdom will be. Here's what it will be like. And we're on the pathway to that, so come be a part of us. When Moses looked at that burning bush, what was the word that came out? I am that I am. God's presence is a present reality. The theology about God can be future. His presence is always in the here and now. When we have a thankful heart,